Matt, it was a pretty brutal loss. You've had a couple of days now to sort of digest things. What's the takeaways from Saturday?
Yeah, a couple of days after a really disappointing result, some of the emotion has come out of it, and strategically we can start planning the week out and what lessons to take from the weekend and how to best implement them, move forward and get ready for another fixture against Collingwood.
What do you take out of it, Nathan? What's the main lesson, do you think?
In isolation, if we look at it, very disappointing that as a senior midfield we couldn't get any ascendancy or control of the game after quarter time. The worst loss in the club's history, and me as captain, I take that quite personally, and that's a burden that I'll have to carry and our group will carry. But I think it's dangerous just to look at the game in isolation. A very difficult challenge going over there with a young side in trying conditions. We won't hide behind that as an excuse. And our players are hurting as a result, but all we can do is commit to action and get into the week and prepare as well as we can for Collingwood.
What about mentally? How do you overcome something like this with all the criticism that comes and obviously you said the burden that you have to carry now?
Yeah, I feel like I've been in bigger holes than this in my career, although statistically it was the biggest loss. To me personally, I feel like I've come across worse challenges. The start of 2016 springs to mind in that regard. But we acknowledge with the players that there are going to be some predictable external noises that come out of this, and that looks different these days. It's no longer just print media and news media, it's now social media, and that infiltrates everyone's lives regardless of whether you try and put the shroud of secrecy out there. So we addressed it with the players this morning. We acknowledge that it's out there and it's how best to galvanise and move forward.
Now, you say the isolation and don't look at it in isolation. Is this, do you and Ross believe that, or is it because this is sort of the heavy defeats is starting to become a bit of the norm?
Can you say that question again, please?
When you talk about the isolation, don't look at it in isolation, the heavy losses are actually becoming the norm. So do you think that this is in isolation, or do you genuinely think?
Well, I wouldn't say that heavy losses are becoming the norm. In 2016, we won four games. Our last game didn't come until the... Our fourth win didn't come until the last game of the season. So, as I said, we've been in worse holes than this. I think statistically we've lost by more than 50 points a number of times this year. So when we lose, we lose by quite a margin. But, again, I think it is dangerous just to look at this game in isolation. I don't think you get an accurate snapshot of where our group is at.
It's been nine losses this year by more than 50, which are the most in the competition. In the past 34 games, Ross has lost by 100 points four times in that time. Is the message that Ross is giving, is that getting across to the players?
Absolutely, yeah. We're in a difficult patch as far as being able to get availability of our senior players on the track, and the fact that we've decided to go with the path of blooding younger guys into the team. What comes with that is some real volatility. We're not going to see a direct trajectory back to winning 15 games in a year like we did 13 through 15. None of us like losing by 100 points. None of us like losing by more than 50 points. None of us like losing at all. But looking at those numbers and trying to make a decision on or make a judgment on how Ross is being received by the players is just inaccurate.
So do you have complete faith that he is the right man for the job going forward?
Absolutely.
And what do you base that on? Why is Ross Lyon the right fit for the Fremantle Football Club?
I've had access to a number of coaches across my career, at Fremantle, International Rules Series, and Ross Lyon is as good as any coach that I've had. Internally, the ties are always going to be kicked on whether we've got the right people leading the organisation, and those questions need to be asked, and time again they come up with, Ross Lyon is the best man to have in charge of our club, and currently I'm the best man to have as captain. And at the moment, we're doing as much as we can for this organisation to help us move forward, and that starts this weekend against Collingwood.
Do you understand supporter anger as a result of this, Nathan?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was once a footy fan myself, barracked for Richmond, and felt frustration and emotion after losses. And so I do have a level of empathy for our fans, and it's been a difficult 3-year period for our club. And I wish I could say this is the last time I'm going to step in front of a press conference under these circumstances, but the reality is it may not be.
Are you at all worried that the best part of your career is potentially going to be in a losing side?
No.
How is Ross behind closed doors? Because during the media conference afterwards, he seems quite unaffected and sort of, I guess, quite dismissive. And I mean, it seemed quite odd for a team that had just lost 130 points. It was almost like he didn't care almost. Is that different to how he is behind closed doors?
I think it's dangerous to assume that Ross Lyon doesn't care. The level of passion that he shows to the playing group is really all that matters. I understand that there's a public perception and our fans and members want to see Ross Lyon giving and emotionally invested, but he can't afford to ride the roller coaster. If he was down in the dumps every time we lost and elated every time we won, then we wouldn't get the best version of a coach. We need that consistency, and behind closed doors, he rides us hard when he needs to. But we're in a different period. I keep saying that in 2015, where we had senior players, the Ross Lyon that we saw was a hard taskmaster. At the moment, we're getting a guy, a version of Ross, who is building relationships, educating young players, committing to a strategy, which means we're going to lose games of footy at times. But in time, we trust that that'll pay dividends.
You were part of a team that was, you know, one of the best in the AFL for a significant period. Do you look around this current group and think that these are players that can get to that level as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Every dog has its day. I've played down in Geelong and beaten Geelong a couple of times down there, and when I was playing my best footy and our team was at the top of its game. And so to go down there and lose in those circumstances, having been through what I have with this group, with the Fremantle Dockers, I can honestly say that I look around and see the building blocks of a quality team. And it doesn't take much for it to turn. We have no interest in waiting years for these players to develop. We're in a fast-tracking process. And I want to be back playing finals as quickly as I can, because I've got no interest in taking holidays in September.
What have you learned about being a captain this year, Nathan?
It's a constantly evolving journey of self-discovery, and we've had some trying circumstances this year and some fantastically rewarding ones. I continue to learn the importance of serving the group, figuring out what's most needed at any given time as a player and Monday through Friday, and trying to best align to that strategy.
Brad Hardy came out today and he said Ross Lyon and Steve Rossich should be the first ones out the door. What do you think when you hear comments like that?
Sorry, say that again.
So Brad Hardy came out today in one of the articles he wrote. He said Ross Lyon and Steve Rossich should be the first one out the door, like pretty much a bit
Did
of a clean
say
out.
Why?
Well, just said the team's results and the reaction to it, and just said it's time for a fresh start. What do you think when you hear stuff like
that? Oh, I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. That's their right. I suppose what I'd say is that sweeping change creates instability even more so. And I'm very comfortable with the coach and with Steve Rossage.
Looking ahead to next year, what do you think the team can achieve?
Wildly optimistic about what can be achieved next year. I don't think there's any reason why a natural progression should be taken, and recent history suggests that that's the case.
Where do you think the rebuild's at? I think Ross was, he held back from actually going into detail on Saturday, but plenty of people have been asking Hayden Ballantyne, 31, sign off another year, Harley Bennell, 2 games in 3 years, potentially Aaron Sandilands might go on next year. Do you know exactly where the club is at with the rebuild?
I don't make those decisions, and to ask that question after a heavy loss and before the last round of the season, I don't think you have all the information you need to answer that, but I'm quite comfortable on the track we're on.
Matthew Pavlich has just said today that it was non-competitive on the weekend. When it comes from a captain, a former captain, a plague you probably would have admired over your career, does that hurt a little bit more?
Yeah, it does. You have to respect Matthew's opinion. And to suggest that a group of players would go out into an AFL game and not try is inaccurate. Our guys are trying, but it's what it would have looked like is non-competitive at times. And that starts with me and our midfield.
You said it was spiritless. Is that saying that it's the not trying, or just the game was too much for your players?
I can't speak on behalf of Matt's opinions.
Nathan, it looks like the skill level is a problem for the players, and that you're often unable to put chains of possession together that enable you to threaten other teams and make them defend you as opposed to attacking you. Are you happy where the skill level is at, or is it a work in progress? Where do you think it's at?
I think I have no issue with the skills.
When you stand here as the captain and you see the blowtorch coming, you know, plenty of speculation out there from the fans calling for Ross's head, do you understand, or do you agree or understand that the criticism is justified, or do you think it's an overreaction?
I understand the passion of our members and fans. And what I'd say is, as difficult as it is to endure and hear, you'd much rather, as a player, have our members and fans be passionate and having their opinion than be not saying anything at all. So it's some difficult times for our club, and they're having their opinions on that, and I'm sure they'll be there supporting us when the good times come ahead.
Nathan, how much do you take out of that? Do you have to just, with a performance like that, do you have to just park it and regard it as an aberration, or do you try and learn things from it, do you think?
No, always trying to learn. I think the first quarter speaks for itself and the second quarter speaks on behalf of the rest of the match. So they're the two quarters we'll focus on reviewing.
Will you be part of Freo's successful, next successful era, do you think? It'll be that quick enough. I know you're not old, but you know, you're getting older and you're at the absolute ultimate of your game at the moment.
I wouldn't have signed a six-year contract extension if I didn't think that was true.
What would be your message to those frustrated fans and supporters who, after the heavy losses this year, might not be able to see that light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, a message that's been trotted out before. I hear their pain, I feel their pain, I'm as much of a part of it as them. And I won't plead with them to stick with us or anything like that, because I can't promise I won't be here doing the same at some other stage. But our supporters, I would wildly say, are the best in the competition, and they've seen some tough days, but they've seen us go to a grand final as well, and we're hopeful they'll stick with us and ride the roller coaster with us.
Now, how disappointing is it when Geelong pile on 10 unanswered goals in that second term and then there's absolutely no response from a playing group? How disappointed are you in the club as a whole in that sense?
Oh, I'm more disappointed in the players. Once we step out on the pitch, the people that have responsibility for the result pretty much entirely falls on the playing group, and that starts with me as captain. And the fact that we couldn't respond or couldn't get any control of the game after quarter time is really frustrating.
How extensive does the post-season review need to be in terms of the positions all the way from top to bottom?
I think every year we look at every player on our list, everyone in leadership roles, in coaching roles, and assess whether they're the best person for that job. That won't change regardless of the result on the weekend.
You've got a really young list. How important is establishing a winning culture moving forward for these young players in the years to come?
Yeah, winning games is really important. We don't want to be a club that is exposing their players to constantly losing. But you can't really pick and choose the end result. It's more about the process and the culture.
When we don't get a lot of access to you now in terms of press conferences, I think last year after round two there was that hiding from Port and you addressed the media again. But when it's like this and you're coming up and you know, putting up the front for the club, do you take it personally? How hurt are you by it?
Yeah, it's not ideal to be in these circumstances, but I've sat in a press conference leading into a grand final and posted a Brownlow medal, so this industry exposes you to the whole gamut of emotions and experiences. And as difficult as these ones are, and I hope I don't have to endure too many more in my career, they're a natural reality of the experience.